Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 2, beginning, prayers by the demigods, verses 1 and 2. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So just, they're together, two verses, and only one is on the board, so we'll just chant one. Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Pralamba.
Pralamba.
Baka.
Baka.
Chanura.
Chanura.
Trinarvata.
Trinarvata.
Mahashanai.
Mahashanai.
Mushtikarishta.
Mushtikarishta.
Dvivida.
Dvivida.
Putana.
Putana.
Keshi.
Keshi.
Denukai.
Denukai.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Pralamba Baka Chanura.
Pralamba Baka Chanura.
Trinavarta Mahashanai.
Trinavarta Mahashanai.
Mushtikarishta Dvivida.
Mushtikarishta Dvivida.
Putana Keshidenukai.
Putana Keshidenukai.
Shishuka Uvacha.
Shishuka Uvacha.
Shishuka Deva Goswami said.
Shishuka Deva Goswami said.
Pralamba.
Pralamba.
By the Asura named Pralamba.
By the Asura named Pralamba.
Baka.
Baka.
By the Asura named Baka.
By the Asura named Baka.
Chanura.
Chanura.
By the Asura named Chanura.
By the Asura named Chanura.
Trinarvarta.
Trinarvarta.
By the Asura named Trinarvarta.
By the Asura named Trinarvarta.
Mahashanai.
Mahashanai.
By Aghasura.
By Aghasura.
Mushtika.
Mushtika.
By the Asura named Mushtika.
By the Asura named Mushtika.
Arishta.
Arishta.
By the Asura Arishta.
By the Asura Arishta.
Dvivida.
Dvivida.
By the Asura named Dvivida.
By the Asura named Dvivida.
Putana.
Putana.
By Putana.
By Putana.
Keshi.
Keshi.
By Keshi.
By Keshi.
Denukai.
Denukai.
By Denuka.
By Denuka.
Anyai.
Anyai.
Cha.
Cha.
And by many others.
And by many others.
Asura Bhupalai.
Asura Bhupalai.
By demoniac kings on the surface of the globe.
By demoniac kings on the surface of the globe.
Bana.
Bana.
By King Bana.
By King Bana.
Boma.
Boma.
By Bhomasura.
By Bhomasura.
Adhibi.
Adhibi.
And by others as well.
And by others as well.
Yuta.
Yuta.
Being assisted.
Being assisted.
Yadunam.
Yadunam.
Of the kings of the Yadu dynasty.
Of the kings of the Yadu dynasty.
Kadanam.
Kadanam.
Persecution.
Persecution.
Chakre.
Chakre.
Regularly performed.
Regularly performed.
Bali.
Bali.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Magadha Samshraya.
Magadha Samshraya.
Under the protection of Jarasandha, the king of Magadha.
Under the protection of Jarasandha, the king of Magadha.
Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magadharaja, Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of demons like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aghasura, Mushtika, Arishta, Dvivida, Putana, Keshi, Dinuka, Banasura, Narakasura, and many other demoniac kings on the surface of the earth. Purport. This verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 4:7 and 8. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharmasam starpanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining the material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders, unfortunately, try to hinder the purpose of the Lord, and therefore the Lord appears, either personally or with his plenary portions, to set things right. It is therefore said, Garbham Sancharya Rohinyam Devakya Yogamaya Ya Tasya Kukshim Gata Krishno Dvitiyo Vibudhai Stuta. Translation, Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baladev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yogamaya. Yadu Bi Sa Vyarudyata. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees, but there were many powerful demons such as Shalva who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful, and therefore Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods, but ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kuravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Patade Satarane. So these verses give a lineup roster of big demons who later, as we read in the Krishna book, they appeared one by one and were actually killed by Krishna in his childhood, starting with Putana, who he killed when he was only about 6 months old. And let's see if we know our demons here. Prolumba. Who is Prolumba? Let me give a quick sketch. Yeah. Oh.
He was killed by Balaram.
Yeah.
Balaram Jandram is back in the week. It was supposed to be one of the boys playing along with the other boys. And Balaram Jandram was back for the horse. Piggyback.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's it.
Piggyback fighting. And so then he took Balaram away, and Balaram gave him.
Baka. Duck.
Yeah, a duck.
Yeah, he was like a gigantic duck, and his beaks were bifurcated by Krishna. Nilamadav is like into the demons. Chanura. A little less known. Chanura was a big
wrestler.
So Krishna killed those two wrestlers. Actually, one was killed by Balaram. Trinavarta.
Cyclone.
Yeah, cyclone demon. Aghasura. Yes, Mara.
Snake.
Mushtika. Yeah, he was another partner of Chanura. Chanura and Mushtika. Arista.
The
bull. Vivida. Well, yeah, more than a monkey. He was a huge. He was like ape or gorilla. He was so big that he would go to the shore of the ocean and just with his hands he would start tidal waves. Of course, these demons were so powerful that they were worthy to combat with Krishna. And the internal understanding is that Krishna was fighting with devotees who took these forms so that Krishna could sport. He has a fighting tendency. But in the Leela, it's taken very seriously there as a to fill this role as opponents. Dvivida, Putana, we mentioned. Keshi, he's the horse. Who remembers that? Yeah. Who was in that forest, Talavan. He kicked Balaram. He was killed by Balaram. He kicked Balaram in the chest, and Balaram took him and threw him in the trees. Banasura. Thousand arms, Bana. And then Narakasura, which is another name for Bomasura.
He kidnapped all the queens.
Yeah. And he stole Varuna's umbrella.
What?
He stole Varuna's umbrella.
Boma did? And then?
And the demigods from Madras, Aries, and Krishna.
Right. Very good. And many other demoniac kings on the surface of the earth. So, Prabhupada said that this verse with the list of the demons supports, and it actually elaborates on, Bhagavad Gita verses, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya and Paritranaya Sadhana, which tell, very basic way, why Krishna comes into the world. Actually, you're reading these verses, and gradually we're approaching the Janmashtami day, the day that Krishna appeared. So, this why he appeared is in the verse Pritranaya Sadhanam Vinishaya Chudiskrita, to rescue the devotees and to annihilate the demons. When we say Krishna comes, this means avatar. Where does he come from? He comes from the spiritual world, kingdom of God, Satchidananda Vigraha. He is Satchidananda Vigraha, and in that spiritual world everything is also eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. It's not that Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha and the place is material or dead. But even the water and the land is Satchidananda Vigraha. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyakta sanatana. There is another world beyond this material world. And when this material world is destroyed, that place, which is now not manifest to us, that place remains as it is. One who knows this supreme abode of the Lord can go there. So we're not very willing, interested in going there. And nowadays, in these days of the rise of atheism, which is also mentioned here, Dharma Siglanir, when irreligion is prominent, so people say there's no spiritual world, or if there's anything, it's void or nirvana. But how could there be a world peopled by eternal living beings? They become so materially absorbed that they can't imagine a spiritual world. And also there are so many theories that people become disgusted. And these are some of the material diseases why we don't accept a spiritual world. But it's very clearly described in all the Vedas that we are not this body, we are spiritual. We are one with the Supreme Spirit. This is in the Upanishads, that we are spirit, aham brahmasmi. But then, especially in the Vaishnava Smriti Puranas, Bhagavad Gita, we understand the wonderful details that Supreme Lord is, in his original form, he's a person. And everything comes from him. And although everything comes from him, still he's a person, unexhausted. And we also are one in quality with him. So, we're in this material world. Krishna and his liberated associates are in the spiritual world. Avatar, therefore, means when he comes from there, here, and he appears on this earth, and foolish people think, oh, here's another one of us. Abhajananti mam mudha manusim tanamasritam parambhav majanato mama bhuta maheshwaram. The mudhas, because Krishna appears like a man, they think, That's all he is, or maybe he's a great man. They do not know my supreme dominion over all that be. And Krishna doesn't even reveal that fully. He doesn't want to reveal himself to non-devotees. In fact, he gives them facility to remain non-devotees, because to be a devotee is so special. Krishna wants everyone to be a devotee, but you have to surrender to him and accept him. So he puts a curtain between himself and those who are interested only in themselves and in sense gratification. Still, he does come and he teaches the principles of religion, rescues a devotee and kills the demons, such as those mentioned here. So, in order for them to be killed, they first are allowed to get some influence and some strength. And here they're being, here it's mentioned that an alliance is formed between very powerful super demon like Jarasandha and Kamsa. For Kamsa, he used his connection to Jarasandha, and Jarasandha had influence over all the others. Just like in the in politics, the especially during the world wars, one big nation makes allies and then they strengthen and strengthen and strengthen themselves into allies or axis. So he had like the axis of the whole universe, actually, Kamsa did, as previously Hiranyakashipu did. And they do this by making alliances with all these other demons. Sometimes it's mentioned that Narada, who knows about the advent of the Lord and sees how people are suffering under the demons, becomes eager for the Lord to come, and he does things to fill up the evil soon, so that it will be time for Krishna to come and relieve the burden as soon as possible. He kind of stirs things up. Such as when he revealed to Kamsa the actual situation about Krishna's being born soon to kill him. So this is an avatar. There are different kinds of avatars. The original is the Krishna himself, who also comes. And these avatars are very numerous, and they keep coming into the material world as often as there are waves in the river to spread God consciousness. Now, we're especially in the protection of the covered avatar, as he's called, or we call him the golden avatar, Lord Chaitanya. Covered because he appeared as a devotee, not as Vishnu. And he appeared golden. And so his teaching of the Hare Krishna chanting and Sankirtan, this he delivered as avatar when the irreligion was prominent, and just to protect the devotees. Now, it's also mentioned, or Prabhupada informs us in the Bhagavad Gita purports, that Krishna doesn't really have to come to do this mentioned task, although it's mentioned here, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, because he can annihilate the miscreants through agents, and yet he does it personally. So if he doesn't need to do it, why does he do it personally? The answer is, he's here anyway because of the real prominent reason that he came. What is the actual reason that Krishna comes then? Done what?
Yes. To save the devotee.
Yes, to save the devotee, to please the devotee, to exchange with the devotee. You could say, well, he could save the devotee also by not coming. Yes, but he wants to have a personal relationship, a rasa, and the devotee wants to see him in the form that he adores and worships. So Krishna is not going to disappoint his devotee. He comes to save and the devotee and to please the devotee, like he did with Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, in one of his prayers, says, "My Lord, you killed my father, although he said to me, 'Oh, where is this Supreme Lord you're always talking about? Now I shall sever your head.' And he drew his sword, but you killed him, and you saved me and blessed me. So, but I think by this, you did two things at once, and we were all blessed. So that's not only in the case of Prahlad, but all cases, Krishna benefits everyone. But he kills the demons as a secondary activity, since he's here for the main reason to please the devotee, so the devotee can see Krishna and be with his Lord. So in this context of this chapter, he's coming for Devaki, to save Devaki, not to kill Kamsa, but since he comes, he'll kill Kamsa. The demons appear more powerful than the demigods, but ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated, the demigods triumphant. I mentioned Lord Chaitanya. And nowadays, with Lord Chaitanya, the killing of demons, as Prabhupada described it, takes a different form. It takes the form not like on battlefield of Kurukshetra, but by killing the demoniac nature within people, or the demoniac influence on the planet. But we all know that this is very powerful. Demoniac influence is seen when the sinful activities become strong, like animal slaughter, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, gold, Kali, the personified sin, is powerful. So we don't have to look into a text to understand that these things are growing and growing, and not even by you wait 1,000 years and it moves an inch, but we can see it in our lifetimes. Within 2-3 years, we see leaps and bounds of the influence of Kali Yuga. So the Sankirtan movement, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they have the ability and the weapons to curb the demoniac tendency by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna Sangha Pangasta Parchadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayarya Jantihi Samirsa. Those who are intelligent in the age of Kali will take to the process of worshipping God by chanting his holy names. In order to teach this, Lord Chaitanya appeared with his weapons and his associates. So his weapons, what are the weapons? They're not mentioned as like Krishna has weapons. Sometimes Krishna uses those weapons too. Sword, like in Kalki, it's just sword, no Hari Nam. And the Sudarsan Chakra personally does to kill demons like Jarasandha. But the weapons means the associates themselves, the devotees, and you can take the holy name as a kind of weapon. So this is our activity to in this war between demigods and demons. We want to fight on the side of the devas, on the side of Lord Chaitanya. So it's often taken that the killing has to start with the demons within oneself. That kind of interpretation is done by the Vaishnava Acharyas, that killing demons means killing within yourself. This is mentioned in the 5th canto, in some prayers made to Lord Nrisingadeva. Although Lord Nrisingadeva didn't just kill an inner demon in the heart of an aspiring devotee, he killed the greatest Rakshasa of the time. On the stage of world history, he came. Just like we could hardly imagine Krishna coming to kill a Hitler or to kill somebody like that. He doesn't do that. They get killed by the agents. But Krishna appeared right in the history and killed the biggest demon of that time. But Prahlad prayed to him in the 5th canto, "My dear Lord, you please kill the demons within my heart." So the demons in our heart, we mean our tendency for demoniac activities, which prevents us from serving Krishna, reciprocating with Krishna. So this is appropriate for the those who want to be soldiers of Lord Chaitanya. They want to, but they see that practically I'm under the influence of the enemy. I'm rather partial to his intentions, and I cannot therefore serve you properly, because you can only be served by pure devotees. Or if you can be served by mixed persons like me, how much better I can serve you to really combat if I were a pure devotee. At least if I could not be in this demon devotee struggle within myself. So sometimes the devotees pray to the demon-killing Lord. Start with me, and kill the demon man in me. Let me rise up as your devotee, and then give me a desire to spread Sankirtan, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. He wants to beg the holy name and says, when will I stop thinking of myself and with a desire to serve other living entities, distribute the Harinam, the Sankirtan. And it's with a desire not to lord over people, but to serve them with compassion, because they're missing out on human life, and they think they're going to be happy by demoniac life, but they won't be. They'll suffer now and in the future. So a devotee, he feels sorry for that. That is the real state of the liberated devotee. That just as we know what it means to feel sorry. If you would think of an example, if you try to think of an example of when you felt upset, sorry, disturbed, it was when there was something personal, some kind of frustration to you, you couldn't get something you wanted, you lost something. So we know what it means, but it's rare that you can know what it means to feel sorry that others are suffering. But this is a devotee's sorrow. In fact, he has no personal sorrow, because he's happy in Krishna consciousness, but he's unhappy that so many people, most people, almost all people, are outside the loving service of Krishna. And as a result, they're missing out and they're going to have to suffer. I feel very sorry for them, Prahlad Maharaj prays. In fact, I how can I selfishly engage in my liberation if they can't engage in the same thing? So they work, devotees work on behalf of the Lord. So by Prabhupada's grace, it's not impossible that many, many devotees can have this spark of compassion and wanting to help others. But it won't be full flare if we still mix it with so many things. Even speaking practically, Prabhupada had so many soldiers who had undeniably that urge to spread the empire of Sankirtan. But because the other things were there in the heart, after some time they stopped that activity. So if we want this kind of longevity and power, we have to work on the both fronts together. The front of distributing Krishna consciousness to kill the demons, and you could say the sadhana and personal practices to make sure that we're not going and with the contamination within us. Now, another interesting point in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord's purpose in maintaining the material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. That may sound a little surprising, because if we ask, what is the Lord's purpose in maintaining the material world? You might answer, his purpose is to give everyone a field to carry out their karma, or he unwillingly created the material world for the purpose of letting the rebellious jivas act as God and enjoy sense gratification. That's the one reason for creation. This defective material creation, certified as a bad place by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, was created by him unwillingly to give the rebellious jivas a chance. However, at this other purpose, which is stated here, is material world is to give everyone a chance for going back to home, back to Godhead. So we have both facilities. We have the facility for sense gratification, which is very good in the human form of life, but you also have the excellent chance to use the same senses for serving Krishna. So this is the whole crucial thing. Whether we individually use this material world and body for the one purpose or the other. And again, speaking of mixtures, we may say, well, how about a good via medium? Get the best of both. But the only way to get the best of both is to go for the using the material world and body for going back to home, back to God. Then you get real sense gratification and real Krishna consciousness. The other, that's a foolish, cheating attempt to try to serve Krishna partly and try to be selfish partly. That, of course, is better than completely trying to be selfish and not serve Krishna. But the real recommended path is to use the material world for going back to home, back to Godhead. And since it's not just for you to go back to Godhead, but the place is, as it says here, to give everyone a chance, then you help the Lord's purpose and help others in getting a chance to go back to home, back to Godhead. Certainly Srimad Prabhupada, he emphasizes this, that we do our spiritual activities in a way that others benefit also. And this is the best way for our own advancement. In this way, we have an intimate connection with the avatar. What he's doing, we're trying to help him with. So this chapter is just beginning, and we'll read how Krishna's advent is explained more and more, why he came to the world, and what our role is in receiving him, and according to the particular avatar and his dharma, you have to reciprocate and to please him, and then you become successful. So I can stop here. If there's any questions or comments? Yes.
You mentioned the devotees feel sorrow for the conditioned souls. Prabhupada was saying in one of his small books that Krishna feels worse than us when we suffer. So you explain that, because Krishna is transcendental and blissful. How can he suffer worse than us rotting in the material kingdom?
Well, did it actually say suffer? Worse?
Yeah.
Whatever he does, it's transcendental. So his feeling sorry that we're in the material world would certainly be more full of compassion and a kind of sorrow for us than anything we could feel for either ourselves or for others, because anything that Krishna does, he excels. But we shouldn't think that he is under material modes. When we suffer under the grip of the ignorance and passion, Krishna's transcendental. But everything comes from him. So feeling sorry, and just like everything else, where does it come from? It has to come from Krishna. But in him, there's no inebriety. So it's a transcendental thing that we have to understand. It's like, that's a kind of rare compared to descriptions of the transcendental sex pleasure. So that's described, and we understand that we can't understand it because of our limitation. What we know as sex pleasure, And what is Krishna is engaged in conjugal rasa, it's completely different. There's no material desire, no lust. But it is called that, conjugal with Krishna and the gopis. So using that as an example, you don't try to think you can understand how Krishna suffers for us being here in terms of the way we suffer. Like if you suffer from a bodily disease, it means that the material nature has got you in its grip, and you wish you could get out of it. But Krishna voluntarily, because he's a loving, supreme person, he thinks, if only they could come back. I want them to come back more than they want to come back. And also that feeling, inconceivably, it doesn't disturb his Vaikuntha activities. He's happy in Vaikuntha, and yet he's feeling sorry that we're not there. Just to give a hint, Prabhupada gives it an example, but it's not to be taken exactly. He says a father who's living in the state wants his son to stay there and enjoy it also. So the son leaves, and then he hears the son has really fallen into skid row, and he's become crazy, and he's suffering in so many ways. The father hears reports, and he wants the son to come back, but the son doesn't want it. So the father goes on enjoying his activities. He's not disturbed by the rebellious son. But at the same time, in his heart, he thinks of him and he's sorry. So it's a crude example. That Krishna's Vaikuntha activities are not disturbed, but he's sorry that we're not there. That's all I can explain. Just take it as something nice in that Krishna's thinking of you. I read a sentence really recently, Prabhupada said, he's extremely anxious that we come back to Godhead. So that means if you get a little bit anxious to go back to Godhead, there's somebody there, the Supreme Lord, who's ready. He's not forgotten you. It's, oh, that jiva, I banished him. Or which jiva? There are so many jivas, I can't remember all the jivas. Look it up in the computer. No, there's no sign of it. He must have just got lost somewhere in the process of the cosmos being born and recreated again. No, Krishna knows and he feels instantly. Come back. I have a place for you. So it may say that he's suffering, but it's not like ours. He loves us. Positive way to put it. He loves us much more, and therefore he doesn't want us to be here.
We had Krishna adventing due to annihilating the miscreants because he was in bad shape 5,000 years ago. But there's been 5,000 years of Kali Yuga, and although Lord Chaitanya has come, sometimes it's Lord Chaitanya is not sometimes always so obvious. So why doesn't he come down now or to, you know?
Yeah. Well, the ways of God are His ways, and to try to understand them. Yeah. He came. He's called the Kali Avatar, and his teachings are good for 10,000 years from when he came. So, in that sense, he doesn't have to come to teach something because it got worse than it was 500 years ago. But he sends, it's just like Srila Prabhupada, calculate was a Shaktivish avatar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta is called the ray of Vishnu, or there's a purport describing a person like him as a ray of Vishnu.
And Bhaktivinoda Thakura Prabhupada serves as he's part of the staff of Lord Chaitanya. And then he prayed that Lord Chaitanya would send some confidential person, so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati came. That's a different kind of avatar, not Vishnu, but when a jiva soul is empowered, he's called an avesha. Kali Kalera Dhamma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vinanahatara Pavartana. So that verse, no one can spread the chanting of the holy name, which is the Dharma of this age, unless he's empowered by Krishna, Krishna Shakti. So that verse describes his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. So he came quite recently, not to surpass or replace Lord Chaitanya, but one of his intimate followers. And he had great faith. Prabhupada says the incarnation of God has faith he creates faith in the faithless. He mentioned that in one purport to describe Buddha. So that I like to think of that phrase for Prabhupada too. He creates faith in the faithless. So your point is a good point that seems like we need a lot of rejuvenation and regularly, not just one shot 500 years ago, even if it was Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, but then Shaktivesh, Acharyas can come and will come to keep us on track and keep it renewed. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says in one prayer, the incarnations are as numerous as the waves in the river. Usually they don't describe themselves as incarnation. Prabhupada never said he was an incarnation. But when you study his activities and study the scriptures, you can conclude like that. After Krishna comes in that cycle. So then another Kali Yuga's that's a good name, technical one. I think Jack Tatman explained this in some sort. Somebody comes to teach similes. But he doesn't come. So we're coming so close, relatively speaking, to his appearance, which is so rare, 500 years ago. So that even people in India practically remember him. Where there are all kinds of interesting, even from like an external point of view, so many interesting historical traces of that undeniable Lord Chaitanya was there. Well, even the historians, nobody says Lord Chaitanya didn't appear. They may say that about Krishna because it was too far away. It was before they were got it together to compile history. But everyone knows about Sri Chaitanya, even if they don't know his identity. So we're not that far behind. We're not that far after his actually coming and walking on the earth. But still, because we need constant rejuvenation, therefore so many empowered Acharyas, who are, in a sense, as good as Lord Chaitanya by his mercy, Rupa Goswami, Sanat Goswami, all those Acharyas, the literatures they wrote, the preaching they did. And even if not full Shaktivish avatar, who's ever serving them, they also, they're all empowered branches of the tree of Chaitanya, even now, in the devotees of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Carrying this so this is our time, but other times if you ask about, the Lord makes some provision that because the Dharma in Kali Yuga, the Dharma is Sankirtan. So if he doesn't personally give it, what does it say in Chaitanya Charitamrita? The time came for the Dharma of Sankirtan. And simultaneously, I had a desire to understand the relationship of Radha and Krishna. So I came myself to understand and to teach. First reason I came was to relish the feelings of Radharani, separation from Krishna, and then secondarily to spread the Sankirtan. So no one could do that personally but him. But another Kali Yuga's Dharma is still there of Sankirtan. So it's executed.
Just a question we often get on the streets. People are very much disgusted with religion, either that or they're totally immersed in the kind of rituals of materialistic religion. But sometimes when we might do some neophyte preaching, and just for the sake of not agitating this person who might be attached to some form of religion, you might say, well, actually, we have nothing against Jesus, and we accept the Bible as bona fide. And if we draw too many parallels, they say, well, you're just, either you're just like us, or you're just another religion from India. How do we express what we have to offer as distinct from other, just another religion?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you say, on the street, it depends on what you're trying to get across in a few minutes. If you were sitting down with somebody, and depending on what his attitude was, and they wanted to spend a lot of time to go into it, there could be all kinds of parallels. But sometimes all a devotee can do is just encourage a person in religious practice. So that's a kind of service that we can render. That you could say that he could become a better religionist in his religion. And here, it's not going to hurt you. You take this magazine, and this will help you to understand how you can become better at religion. And that'll kind of disarm him, because he said, look, there's no way I want to become Hare Krishna. I have my religion. Well, then this will help you become better at it. Some people will accept that. But like then there's a more serious kind of inquiry that, well then, if I can do it in my own religion, then what is in your religion? Why aren't you this religion? Then you can. Then there's more time or more explanation that bhakti yoga, which is the common essence of all religion, is most expertly taught and with the best and easiest means by Prabhupada Chaitanya, by the chanting, by the deity worship. And all the science of bhakti yoga that we have, it's just more complete than the other bhakti yoga. I'm sure you get experience yourself how to answer each different person, sometimes by trial and error, how much you can get those points across and how much just some preliminary point. And we're just messengers, so we have faith that if they do, whatever their disposition, take some literature, it can do some good for them or somebody else who they're associating with eventually in one way or another. That's our real success. All right, I'll stop there. Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada.